on. I have preached 6 or 7 times, but it's been 6 or 7 years since I've done it. And I'm doing 2 firsts tonight. I have filled in for preachers where I've been a member at before, but never has a preacher been sitting and listening. Thanks for the extra pressure, Jerry. And I've never had a mic on and been recorded. So that's even more pressure that I sure appreciate, because I do get nervous when I speak in public. I imagine all people do to a certain extent. But I know it does affect me, and hopefully my nerves won't affect me too much. But I know it's affecting me some when I can't even find Matthew. But I do appreciate this opportunity. Jerry's asked me a few times, and I don't really normally like to tell a brother no, but I've been telling him no, and when he asked me this time, I felt I'm not going to tell him no again, because I don't like to do that. I'm going to tell him yes. So that's one of the reasons I'm up here tonight. And if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans. And it's Romans, the 8th chapter. That's where we're going to begin our lesson tonight. And I'm going to make a couple of points at the beginning that's not really the lesson I want to teach, but I'm going to use it as a springboard for my lesson. So I would like to make these couple of points before we really get into what I want to talk about. And it's Romans 8, and I'm going to be reading verses 35 through 39. Starting with verse 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That is, it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are even more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here in these verses, verse 35 particularly, lists as physical things we might have to come across in our lives. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. This is something probably sometime or another we'll cross a few of these in our lives. But the Bible says these will not separate us from God. And then in verse 38, these are some pretty powerful stuff. Some of these go beyond the physical realm. Some things that, you know, other people that might try to control us. And it talks about life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. But yet even that, none of these can separate us from the love of God. Now, I'm not trying to have a lesson here on once saved, always saved. That's just a lie made up from men. We can find that nowhere in the Bible. On the contrary, Galatians 5:4 says he's fallen from grace. And it's talking to the Galatian brethren here. So we can fall from grace. If you'd like to turn to Hebrews 12:15. And as you're turning now, I like to say something Jerry always says, and I agree with, and I feel the same way. Don't ever take my word for anything. I can be wrong. I've been wrong before. But take the word of God, whatever it says, and I hope tonight anything I says is in line with what God's word says. In Galatians 12:15 says, looking careful lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. We can fall short. So when I read the verses from Romans 8, I know it's not teaching, once saved, always saved, that nothing can separate us from God. There is something that can separate us from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, sin separates us from God. And over in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the verse 30, if you'd like to turn to that, it's Matthew 5, and I'm going to be reading verse 30. It says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. That teaches us right there, we can be cast into hell. We're not saved from hell. There's no such teachings in the Bible as once saved, always saved. And like I said, these 2 points I've just made is not really what I want to talk about tonight, but I want it to be a springboard for what I am going to talk about, because, as I said, there is one thing that can separate us from God. And every morning when we look in the mirror, we're looking at what can separate us from God. That's ourselves. We can heed to temptations, we can sin, and there's all kinds of sin in the Bible. And that's what I want to talk tonight, and that's what my main lesson is about tonight, is sin. And I'm not going to talk about all the sins in there, we'd be here till morning. But there's one in particular I'd like to. I think sometimes we all might be like sin. I know when I'm doing this lesson, I realize I am at times. I'm not doing as good as I should, and I should improve. And I'm not teaching this lesson to point a finger at no one, but I'm hoping it's an encouragement to all of us that we can improve. Because the one sin I'd like to talk about tonight could probably be called a couple of things: being complacent, you know, and complacence more or less where you think, oh, I've done enough, I'm okay, I don't need to do this or do that. I've come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, I'm safe. We don't need to get complacent. Though we've been a Christian for a long time and we're resting on our laurels, that's not right either. That's not what God's Word teaches. When we became Christians, we made a commitment to God. When one decides to submit to God's will, that's what we're doing, submitting to His will. We obey the gospel, we do what it says, and we become a Christian. And it's a two-way street. Jesus came to earth as a man without sin, willingly was sacrificed on a cross. He rose from the dead. He did all this for the remission of our sins. God did His part, but we have a part to do too. If you would turn to Colossians, the first chapter, Colossians 1. Be Colossians 1. I'll start in verse 21, read 21 and 22. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, has now been reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. This is once again what Christ has done for us. Because of Him, we can be considered holy, blameless, and pleasant in His sight. Ain't that what we want? Ain't that what we want to achieve come judgment day? To be found holy in God's sight. So He's done His part. We need to do ours. If you will, look down at verse 23. It tells us one of some of the things we need to do. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We have to continue in this faith. It's ongoing. It don't stop when you're baptized. It's just the beginning. You have to be grounded and steadfast. I looked up the word steadfast, and there's a couple of meanings, but one of them was dutiful, firm. And that's what we need to do. We have a duty to do what God's Word teaches us to do. We can't be lackluster on it. We can't think, let someone else do that. I don't need to do it. We all need to do what He says. We have commandments from God, and if we are committed to Christ, then what matters to Christ will matter to us. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind every day. I know I need to remind myself of it. If we truly love Christ and we are a follower of His, what's important to Him will be important to us. If you will, let's turn over to Luke, the 6th chapter. That's Luke 6, and I'm going to read verse 46. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" This shows here it's not pleasing to the Lord that we don't do what He says. We need to do the things that He tells us to through His Word. If you would turn over to John 14. John 14 and 46. Well, I'm sorry. I'm turning to John 16 and telling y'all to turn to Luke 6. I'm sorry. I apologize. I do want to read from John, the 14th chapter, verse 23. Here it says, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. We love him. We're going to do what he says. That's how we get to heaven. This verse very plainly explains all of that. Love him, do what he wants, and he's got a home for us in heaven. I don't always think that we particularly, the problem is lacking understanding is what we need to do as Christians. Lacking understanding ain't always the problem. It's the willingness or the complacency or just putting it off or thinking we've got other things to do more important. We think we're okay. I've done enough. I'm good enough. I'm going to get to heaven. But when we go through our walks of life, we need to ask ourselves once again, if it's important to Christ, is it important to us? And I don't know how we can find any other answer, but yes, it's got to be important to us. If it's important to Christ. If you would, if you want to, turn over to James, the 4th chapter. I hope y'all are having better luck turning these pages than I am. James 4:17 says, Therefore, him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sin's what separates us from God. There are plenty of good works out there we should be trying to do. And if we don't, it will separate us from God. We may not like to think of that or think of it in that way, but that's clearly what God's Word says. It calls it a sin not to do the things we should be doing. God wants us to do good. He wants us to do these things. It's His plan for Christians to be doers. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. It's one we should be active in. What did Paul say when he was near his death? I have run the race. That's an action. That wasn't sitting and watching. Running a race. He was involved. He was acting. And we can be sinning by just sitting and doing nothing. Sitting on our hands and not letting the work that needs to be done get done. We worry a lot about, oh, am I doing this sin? Or I'm doing that sin? Am I doing this that's wrong? And rightfully so, we should. We don't want to do nothing the Bible teaches us not to do. But it's equally important to make sure we are doing the things that we should be doing. The good works that God expects us and wants us to do. If you would, turn to Titus, the 3rd chapter. That's Titus 3, and I'll be reading verse 14. It says, And let our people also learn to maintain good works and meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. Some of the works we may have to learn to do, and that's fine and good, but we should be striving to do that. But at the end of this verse, it talks about being unfruitful. I don't think any of us would want to stand before God on Judgment Day and being accused of being unfruitful. It's not going to be good for us. While we're here on earth, we need to try to be fruitful. And I know that can be discouraging at times, but we still need to. If you would now turn over to Luke, I'd like to make a few points on this. Luke 9, the 9th chapter. Luke 9, I'm going to be reading verses 57 through 62. And now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. These people said they would follow Jesus with their lips. But when it come down to it, to make a true commitment, to make a commitment to God as we need to do it, they found other things that were more important. And sometimes I believe that's what we do. We find other things to get in our way of service to God. We're too busy. I know this time of year with the shop and the traffic and all that's going on, it's an awful busy time. I know it is for y'all, it is for me as well, but what's more important? Getting these earthly things done or getting things done that will get us to heaven? It's obviously the most important is getting to heaven, but I feel as though sometimes we might get a little lack-lazy in this. We might forget it because of all the worldly cares. So we need to keep this in mind. There are lots of things we should be doing. And I'll even discuss a few, not point no fingers at no one. Like say, if anything, he's less than points a finger at me more than anyone. But if you would, turn to a verse I know we all know, but Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And these are a few verses that I'm sure everyone's heard dozens of times, but I'd like to look at more than just the one verse. That's Hebrews 10. I'll start in verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and also much more as the day you see approaching." Now, I know a lot of people use this verse to talk about attendance, and it's important. We should. That's one way we put God first, is through our attendance. But it's not the only thing we need to do. I mean, for one, we should not let vacation or family events or this event or something coming up keep us from attendance. And as we read in verse 24, it says, "Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works." You know, we're not just here to warm a pew. We're to stir up love and good works in each other. We should be friendly. Talk to each other. See how they're doing. You know, it's not just a warming the seat. We don't know what our brother or sister may have been gone through this last week. They might be having a rough time. They come here, it shouldn't just still be drab to them. We should try to welcome them, ask how they're doing, see if they can do anything. Just be friendly. Let them know you're there for them. That's encouraging to people. I know it's encouraging to me. So if we're not here, we can't do that. And if we are here, we should be doing those things. It's not just a matter of warming a pew and going through the motions. That won't be pleasing to God. As it says in these verses, we're to exhort, stir up love in each other for good works. And that's what we're talking about, doing good works. So in our attendance and being here and making sure our heart's here and our mind's here is all what these verses are talking about, to be pleasing to God. So that's one area we need to. We also need to spread God's word. Cherry might be the preacher here, but it's not his responsibility to come to my workplace and spread the word. He don't know all my family members. We each have that responsibility. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Second Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 24 and 25. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may come to know the truth." This verse is talking about spreading God's word, teaching others. And you know, I know some people can't teach a class or teach it for a bunch of people, but that don't mean you can't one-on-one. What about our family, our co-workers, people we come across and meet, and friends? You know, and even if you can't do that, you can invite them to church, you can invite them to gospel meetings, you can set up a study, your home or their home, and even if you have trouble with that, I know there are people here that would be more than willing to help you to do that, to meet with them and to help study. But as long as you're doing the work, you're trying. You know, we at Prairie Village, we don't have a lot of members. We all know that. There's no reason we can't grow. It may be hard, it may be difficult, but we can grow. It's not something that's impossible. It's just a work that we are given. And if we don't do it, there's no way we're going to grow. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. First Corinthians 3, verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I like the end of that. God gives the increase, because that tells me that if we're planting and watering, we leave the increase up to Him. That's not us to worry about. It's not what we have to do. But He's going to give the increase, but it says one has to water, one has to plant. If we're not planting, we're not watering, nothing's growing. We can know that just from basic plants out in the yard, or if you do gardening, or plant plants or stuff, I'm sorry. It's not going to grow if we don't first plant it in the ground and then water it. It has to be done if we want growth. And you know, I know, like I said before, this can be discouraging. I've asked people to come to church to talk about God's Word and stuff, and you can ask 100 people, and you're lucky if one or two are even willing to talk about it, discuss it. But that don't change the fact we should need to do it. We don't let people discourage us. We remember, we're fighting for that goal. We're working towards that goal of heaven. And if we do our part, we let God worry about the increase. That's plain and clear what His Word says. You know, and if you would, I'd like to make this point a little more. Turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. It's Mark 10. I'll be reading verse 21 and 22. And this is towards the end of the story of the young rich ruler, who he talked about himself that, you know, he'd kept the commandments, he'd honored his father and mother, he'd done all these good works, he'd done all these things. But then in verse 21, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. That sounds sad to me, don't it to you? One thing he lacked. I even one time, after being in a Bible class, had a man come up to me. We were talking about a sin, a particular sin, and said, well, what if a man's doing everything right? He's doing everything he's supposed to, but he lacks this one area. Well, I believe we have our answer here. What did Jesus say? He said he needs to take up his cross and follow him. And if not, he's not going to have his treasure in heaven. Lacking one thing can cause us to go to hell. If you like, turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'll be reading verse 14 and 15. Says, but you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. When we leave here tonight, when we go on our way, we go to different places we go through this week, wherever it might be, this is telling us we have to let that light shine. You don't hide it. That's what God's saying here. It's Jesus Christ giving this parable. If it's on a mountain, it's to shine. And God wants our light to shine. He wants it to shine bright so all and others can see it. That's one of our jobs, is doing good works. And sometimes it's not saying a word. It's just being the example God would have us to do. And when you're out in the workplace, you're at family and family events and friends, it's very easy to lose that, to let your reputation go down the tubes real quick just by participating in a joke you shouldn't, or saying something you shouldn't, or doing something you shouldn't. It might take years to build up a reputation, but it can take seconds to lose it. And as a Christian out in this world, that's the main thing we have to talk to others, is our reputation. So we need to be real careful of it. We need to love that reputation if we have a good one, and work to keep it. I'll close this lesson with this one verse. It's one last verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5. It's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I'd like to read that last sentence again. According to what he has done, whether good or bad. We need to worry about the bad things. We need to worry about doing the good things. And I hope this lesson has not been anything discouraging to anyone. I'd rather hope it's encouraging. Encouraging me, encouraging you to strive to do better. To get God's word out. To do the things, the good works that God wants us to do. I am confident, very, very confident, as much as I am of anything, if we all get out and do these good works, Prairie Village will be blessed. God will bless those who follow Him and do good for Him, and that includes His local church, which He loves. Now tonight, if you're not a Christian, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Earlier I talked about Jesus coming on His earth, dying on that cross and rising again, and doing that for us, for the remission of our sins. That's what you have to believe. You have to believe that Christ died for you. Then you have to confess your sins, repent, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, as we see they did in Acts 2 and 38. Tonight, though, if you are a Christian, you have fallen short of the will of God. You haven't done the things that God expects of you, or you've done things you shouldn't have done. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, if you need to come forward for anything that we can help you with, confess your sins, you need to be baptized, we'll pray with you and for you. We'll do the things that we can from the Scripture to help you out if you'll do that as we sing His song.